Hello everyone, this is Akhila, your training partner in UGC preparation. In this audio lecture, I'm going to discuss about T.S. Eliot. So let's get started with today's audio lecture. The first part of this audio lecture deals with early life and education. T.S. Eliot was born on 26 September 1888 in the United States but settled in UK in 1914. He studied philosophy at the University of Harvard, but later he completed a doctoral dissertation for Harvard in the philosophy of F.H. Bradley. Eliot was very well versed in the knowledge of Latin, French, Greek, and German. He was greatly influenced by several philosophers and famous writers, and in particular, he was a great follower of Dante. French literature has got a profound influence on him. He read some works of Baudelaire, and later he was introduced by the symbolist movement person, Arthur Symons, to French poets. And about the same time, he came under the influence of French philosopher Henri Bergson. Apart from French literature, he had shown great interest in study of Buddhism and the Bhagavad Gita. The second part of the audio lecture deals with his writing career. Eliot worked as a schoolmaster, banker, before he became a writer. Eliot joined as the editor of Faber and Faber. Later, Eliot founded the journal Criterion. In 1948, he won Nobel Prize in Literature. He gave up the Calvinist faith and joined the Church of England. He declared in the preface to a book of essays that he was a classist in literature, a royalist in politics, and an Anglo-Catholic in religion. In 1932, Eliot revisited America to deliver two series of lectures at the University of Harvard and Virginia. And later, these lectures were published as The Use of Poetry and the Use of Criticism, 1933, and After Strange Chords, 1934. According to Eliot, poetry is not a turning loose of emotion, but an escape from emotion. It is not the expression of personality, but an escape from personality. But of course, only those who have personality and emotions know what it means to want to escape from these things. He also believed that poetry should represent the complexity of modern life. In January 2017, the question asked was, which of the following lines of T.S. Eliot is used by Anita Desai as epigraph for her novel Baumgartner's Bombay? The answer is, in my beginning is my end. This is the beginning of this work, East Cocker. So, in my beginning is my end, East Cocker. In December 2007, there was a question, influence of Indian philosophy is seen in the writings of? The answer is T.S. Eliot. Now let's move on to the third section of this audio lecture, that is important works of T.S. Eliot. The first one is Prufrock and Other Observations. This poetry collection was published in the year 1917. This poetry collection consists of three poems, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, Portrait of a Lady, Aunt Helen. The first poem, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. This poem was published in the magazine called Poetry, a magazine of verse. In 1914, Eliot met Ezra Pound and he helped him publish the poetry. Originally, the poem was titled as Prufrock Among the Women, but later, before its publication in Poetry magazine, the title was changed as The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. This narrative poem deals with an instance of the life of the character, Mr. Prufrock, and it is the first modernist poem, appears in the form of dramatic monologue. Eliot has attached an epigraph to the poem, which is taken from the Renaissance Italian poet Dante's work Inferno, which is from Paradise Lost. The epigraph sums up a six-line quotation which recounts the story of Dante. That is, the poem starts with a six-line quotation from Dante's work and this sums up the story of Dante. The opening lines after this epigraph, the opening lines of this poem, let's go then, you and I, when the evening is spread out against the sky, like a patient etherized upon a table. The poem deals with the typical modern man in the early 1900s, that is the beginning of 20th century. The action of the poem revolves entirely around the speaker who is walking aimlessly in the town. His mind is preoccupied with the memories of his past and is filled with the feelings of isolation and fear. This made him incapable to make and take decisions in his life. Prufrock feels that this world is looking down upon him as a second-rate status, and this is evident from the poem line, I am not Prince Hamlet. Other famous lines of this poem are, "I have seen the moment of my greatness flicker, and I have seen the eternal footman hold my coat and snicker, and in short, I was afraid." Next, "I have measured out my life in coffee spoons." In the room, the women come and go, talking of Michelangelo. Next, "Now, I am not Prince Hamlet, nor was meant to be. I am an attendant, lord, one that will do. I grow old, I grow old, I shall wear the bottoms of my trousers rolled." These were the famous lines of this poem. Now, let's move on to the previously asked questions. The line, "I am not Prince Hamlet, nor was meant to be," belonged to T.S. Eliot's poem. The correct answer is Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. T.S. Eliot compares the evening to a patient etherized upon a table by using the device of a conceit. In which poem do we come across this? Once again, the answer is the Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. The next question, "In the room, women come and go, talking of Michelangelo." From which poem of Eliot has this line been quoted? The answer is the Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. In December 2010, there was a question, which Eliot character utters the question, "Do I eat a peach?" The answer is Prufrock. "Do I dare disturb the universe?" Once again said by Prufrock in the poem, the Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. The next poem in the poetry collection, Prufrock and Other Observations, is Portrait of a Lady. The poem title is derived from the novel by Henry James, Portrait of a Lady. The poem's epigraph is a famous quotation from Christopher Marlowe's play, The Jew of Malta. The poem tells a story of a failed friendship in three episodes. In the first part, the entire episode covers 10 months. In the first part, the speaker visits the lady's apartment in December after going with her to a concert. They become friends. Speaker informs her that he is going on a tour. In the second part, the lady complains about her age, envies her visitor's youth, and says that April sunsets and memories of Paris reconcile her with life. The speaker didn't understand the feelings of the women and instead talks to her about newspapers, sports, and comics, and so on. In short, the speaker's world is different and don't know, and he really doesn't know how to respond to a woman. In part 3, the speaker takes his farewell from the lady before going abroad. Now she wonders why they have not become friends and asks him to write a letter and describes her melancholy and solitary fate. The famous lines of this poem, "I have saved this afternoon for you, and 4 wax candles in the darkened room, 4 rings of light upon the ceiling overhead, an atmosphere of Juliet's tomb, prepared for all the things to be said or left unsaid." These were the famous lines of this poem to express the love of a woman. The last poem in this collection is Aunt Helen. The opening line of this poem, Aunt Helen, is, "Miss Helen Slingsby was my maiden aunt and lived in a small house near a fashionable square." Eliot calls his aunt by her full name and is clearly mocking the gentle set in the society. The poet mentions that the clock on the mantelpiece was dressed in porcelain, which shows that Miss Slingsby took care to surround herself with good quality, reasonably expensive furnishings. The poem mentions silence in heaven at her passing. Shortly after Miss Slingsby's death, the parrots died too. The clock serves to remind us that the life goes on, because the clock didn't stop working, it goes on. Her servants, far from feeling any sorrow, seem to be happier when their mistress is dead. This is the most unconventional elegy, and it is between formality and mockery. The second poetry collection of T.S. Eliot is Poems 1920, which consists of 4 works, Gerontion, Sweeney Among the Nightingales, Mr. Eliot's Sunday Morning Service, A Cooking Egg. Among the 4 works, Sweeney Among the Nightingales is a play. All the 4 works was published in the work Poems 1920. So now let's start with Gerontion. It is about an elderly man's opinions and impressions about the First World War, and it is in the form of a dramatic monologue. The epigraph for this poem is taken from Shakespeare's play, Measure for Measure. And the famous lines are, "Thou hast nor youth nor age, but as it were an after-dinner sleep, dreaming of both." The main focus of this poem is about the history of First World War. The third important published work of T.S. Eliot is The Wasteland, 1922. The summary of The Wasteland, we'll do it later. Now, let's proceed with the next one, the fourth work, that is The Hollow Men. The poem Hollow Men was published in the year 1925, and it is considered as one of the major poems because it was published between The Wasteland in 1922 and his conversion to Christianity in 1927. The title was taken from two works. First one, The Hollow Land by William Morris. Second one, The Broken Men by Rudyard Kipling. That is, Eliot combined the title work of William Morris and Rudyard Kipling. There are four epigraphs for this work. The first one refers to Mr. Kurtz, a character in Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness. The second one refers to A Penny for the Old Guy, and it alludes to Guy Fawkes, who was involved in gunpowder plot of 1605. And the third epigraph refers to Julius Caesar, that is from Shakespearean play. And the fourth one from Divine Comedy by Dante. So totally there are four epigraphs. The main character here, it's a group of scarecrows leaning together. These hollow men narrate the poem in a chorus. They lament their condition. Their body is completely paralyzed. Their language meaningless. On the other side of a mythical river, dead ancestors are seen, and they judge these hollow men. In a desert valley, on the bank of an overflowing river, under dying stars, these hollow men waver between religious faith and despair. There is an antiphonic parody of Christian worship service, that is, a priest speaks and a congregation answers. A shadow of death paralyzes all actions, and the language of the chorus disintegrates as they attempt to recite the Lord's Prayer. The Hollow Men contains some of Eliot's most famous line, most notably its conclusion. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper. This is a summary of Hollow Men. Another famous work of T.S. Eliot is Ash Wednesday, published in the year 1930. It is the first long poem after his 1927 conversion to Anglicanism, so it is referred as conversion poem. The title is taken from Christian movable feast day, celebrating the onset of Lent, 40 days before Easter. It is a day of mortification of the flesh and of turning towards the spiritual. In short, we can say it is a surrendering to the life of redemption. The poem exemplifies the tension between the flesh and the spirit, borrowing much from Dante. The next work of T.S. Eliot is Ariel Poems. That's a collection. T.S. Eliot wrote this poem for Faber and Faber series of Ariel Poems, and he wrote six poems in this collection. First one, The Journey of the Maggie. Second one, A Song of Simeon, S-I-M-E-O-N. Then third one, Animula, A-N-I-M-U-L-A. Fourth one, Marina. Fifth one, Triumphal March, T-R-I-U-M-P-H-A-L, Triumphal March. Sixth one is The Cultivation of Christmas Trees. One more popular work of T.S. Eliot is Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats, published in the year 1939. This is a very interesting collection because it's all about feline psychology and sociology. Feline is nothing but cats. So Eliot also got a name called Old Possum. So he used this title Old Possum to publish his work in Faber and Faber. He also got plans to write about dogs, but he was not able to do so. So the British poet Christopher Reid, R-E-I-D, picks up the thread in his Old Toffer's Book of Consequential Dogs, and this work was published in the year 2019, which marks the 80th anniversary of Old Possum and the 90th year of Faber's existence. Another best work of T.S. Eliot is Four Quartets, published in the year 1945. This poem is a combination of four long poems titled Burnt Norton, East Cocker, Dry Savages, and Little Gidding. The four poems are Burnt Norton, East Cocker, Dry Savages, and Little Gidding. The order of this poem is important because it was asked in the July 2016 exam. And each of the four poems has got five sections. And some of the themes of the poems include religion, time, the problems of science, and the human attempt to find meaning in life. In short, this collection focuses man's relationship with time, universe, and divine. And one last poem in this audio lecture for T.S. Eliot's Hippopotamus. This poem, written just after the First World War and published in his 1919 volume poems, the poem is an extended comparison between the hippopotamus and the Christian church. The hippo may be associated with laziness, lying in the mud all day, but it has a simple existence, trying to feed itself when it's not sleeping. At the end of the poem, the hippopotamus ascends to heaven while the church remains here on earth, ultimately saying hippopotamus is now in the safe hands of heaven. Now the last section of this audio lecture, the plays of T.S. Eliot. T.S. Eliot was also a great dramatist, apart from being a poet. So let us look into the seven plays of T.S. Eliot. The first one is Sweeney Agnostes, Agnostes. It was first performed in the year 1934. It was his first attempt at writing a verse drama, and he was not able to complete. And it is a one-act play. The second one is Rock, 1934. The play was written to raise funds to build new Anglican churches for the growing suburbs. The play's versification is modeled on the medieval English play Everyman. The third play is Murder in the Cathedral, 1935. It is a fictionalized verse drama of the martyrdom of St. Thomas Becket. And this play was written and performed at a time when fascism was on the rise in continental Europe. The play considers the agency of the individual in resisting temporal authoritarianism. That is, St. Thomas Becket was resisting the power of the King Henry. And that's the plot of this play. The fourth play is The Family Reunion, 1939. The play was written in blank verse and it portrays a hero's journey from guilt to redemption. The fifth play is The Cocktail Party, 1949, and it is based on Euripides, all about a trouble faced by a married couple. The sixth play is The Confidential Clerk, 1954, once again inspired by Euripides' Ion, and it is a comic verse play, and it is the best example of drawing room comedy. The seventh and the final play of T.S. Eliot is The Elderly Statesman, published in the year 1959, and it is the last play. When the play opens, the setting is that of Lord Claverton, Claverton, Lord Claverton's drawing room. Lord Claverton is a man of distinction and he is well known and respected in the society, and he exerts considerable influence as well. As the play opens, we see Claverton's daughter Monica bantering with her beau, Charles Hemington. This is the end of the audio lecture. All right, now you have a lot of information to observe, so feel free to replay this audio clip to get thorough with the topics. Stay motivated and have fun learning English literature. This is Akila signing off. Until the next audio lecture, goodbye.